Off we go.
Forgotten how to do this.
I know.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Thought you got rid of us.
Not quite. This week we got, we are going to talk about Ripple weirdly, but SEC Ripple, SBF, what's going on with the court case, BitVM, Honda and Ferrari, Cointelegraph's panic news, timeout trees on the Lightning Network, Spiral video, 101 Bitcoin video, Lightning Labs and their Taproot assets announcement, Tesla not selling Bitcoin, and that's it.
Mega.
Bitcoin price.
Mega. It's great to be back.
We've been away. We've been on holiday.
All right. Is that what we're saying? Fine.
Yeah, that's it. Done.
Don't ask any more questions, all right?
Yeah. Bitcoin price is, are we about, is it $30,000 at the minute?
Exactly. Just under. Hit 30.
30. Should we give a live update?
And it's got...
it's good though.
29,800-ish.
Right, oh, there's
30,023.
Welcome back to 30.
30K.
I'm moved. Can't
again. Doing
you just sit and watch this for the whole episode.
Just go, ooh.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Can we talk about why we think it's a 30? Why has it been...
Can, yeah, kind of comes on to one of the points later, does it?
Can we? I don't know.
Just leave it. Let's just move on. Let's just move on to news. Stick to news.
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 Judge. So this is, there's two pieces of news for this one. The judge sided with Ripple with the against the SEC. And I think that actually, there was one from like a week ago, but there's one that just came out last night as well, was it? That they've not, they've dropped, was it all three lawsuits against them?
I think that. So the SEC aren't allowed to appeal. So it's all going through.
They didn't appeal, and they also dropped the ones against the directors themselves, I think.
Right.
So why have they dropped them? I am very out of Bitcoin news at the moment. I don't know.
That was the quote, wasn't it? This is not a settlement. This is a surrender by the SEC. Okay. It's the one that I saw.
So the only reason I'm talking about that is because of the SEC. The Ripple thing I don't really care about.
Yeah.
The SEC starting to back down from these things now.
Mm.
And are we seeing a bit of a change in there? Opinion on things, obviously, with the Bitcoin ETFs potentially coming. Are we seeing...
I think Gary's just trying to save his job.
There could be a bit of that. I assume that he'll get taken out once a new president comes in.
Take
bad, bad choice. that was not a dot of it.
I don't want to see anyone taken.
He will get taken out. When I say taken out, when the new president comes in, they can appoint a new... head of SEC can't, they appoint different roles.
Mm.
And I think that's usually the case. So
the president appoint the head of the SEC?
I think it was Gary's role. They put him in, didn't they?
I thought it was slightly more independent.
Really?
Kind of.
Yeah.
SEC chairman. In the president designates one of the commissioners as the chair.
And then
they put him in. I think it was Biden.
That's 1-0 to Danny, that, right?
No, it isn't. This FCC is an independent federal agency.
Versus the
president designates one of the commissions as the chair.
As a five-member commission point. And the president confirmed.
Designated Gary as the chair.
The president designates one of the commissions as the chair.
Trying to find a way to
the next
win.
Hell.
Just keep repeating that.
So Ripple.
So, okay. So he doesn't appoint, he can't pick
commission.
He can't pick who's in it, but he can pick who's boss of it.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I think they can appoint somebody to go, because I think that was what they did with Gary, I think.
Well, they put him as commissioner and then said he's leading it.
They can pick one of the commissioners out of five, isn't it?
Yeah, but my point is they can't pick the five.
No, I think they can pick one of them.
I get what you're saying. So they
I know
what
you're
five, then they eliminate
There's no independent federal agency if they can pick the five and then pick the head.
Maybe not. But
so it's one of the five and then got.
So I'd say we're both right.
That's a 1-1, actually.
That's a draw, right?
Thank you.
Draw. We'll allow it. Yeah.
5 minutes back and it's 1-1.
It says here about five are appointed by the president. The Securities Commission has five. Someone's appointed by the president of the United States.
Mikey.
I want to cover the SEC's website.
But
right, go through that again.
So it's not independent at all?
So why would you call it an independent agency if it's not independent at all?
With the advice and consent of the Senate.
Yes, the Senate have to approve it as well. But
okay, so...
But it's appointed by the president.
No, but the more you water it down, the president just can't pick his five guys and then pick the...
That's exactly what it is.
No, it's not just one guy's decision. Okay, let's move on. That's a 1-1. We very much.
It feels like a 5-1 there. So yeah, SEC. That's something I think Gary did. He had a little interview, didn't he? Or got stopped randomly in the video just from a couple of days ago going around that he is explaining in the video almost how what a Bitcoin ETF is and how it works, and saying that he's acknowledging there's basically 8 to 10 in a stage of approval or waiting for. He didn't say approval, but can't with the word he says.
Right.
But yeah, it kind of his first real acknowledgement, I think, of Bitcoin ETFs. And because he's explaining how they work, here we go.
I always feel sorry for him in interviews.
Oh,
why?
Because he can't, obviously, he's trapped in such a legal framework.
What, he can never answer questions?
That he can never answer questions. Yeah. People know that, and they're just like, why aren't you answering it? And they know.
But the Bitcoin one.
The head of the SEC can't just have an opinion.
The Bitcoin one, though, I think that was an interesting...
Oh, yeah, but he's trying to dodge it. It's
is Bitcoin a security? And he basically said, no, it's not. But he beat around the bush with the answer.
We also seen the videos of him previously saying that it's not. And no, MIT lectures about.
He also said Ethereum's not back then as well.
Okay.
Now it's changed.
I just feel like we're just trying to tie him up in a web. Poor guy. He's had a bad run because...
he's had a bad run.
He has. That's an understatement. Case that costs a lot of money. And that it's like he's got a tag on his back now.
Wasn't he seen having dinner with SBF?
Was that him?
Yeah, he was seen having dinner with SBF, I think, at one point. Yeah.
I think, reportedly to that quickly. Anything now, just reportedly. It's a coverall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Only this year.
Yeah, but when?
This was about a year and a half, was it?
No, it says February 23.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was before that. No, because it was, they'd come pop by then.
Oh.
It was before.
By last March, things appeared to be going exceptionally well as they prepared for a private meeting with Gary Gensler.
So they did.
Would you like a private meeting with Gary Gensler?
Yeah, just to say, mate, I feel your pain. Give you a reward. You have to appeal, mate. Honestly. Then what would we like?
Dave.
Right. Mikey, you're going to have to. There's your first bleep.
But... How?
Should we just call it doing a Gary where we just cut
doing
the stuff
a Gary.
And just go and talk?
Just know the time down and bleep that.
You go. <dark. laughs>
As if. It's very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard. But you feel sorry for him?
No.
Okay.
No. He chose to go into that position, that role, chose the decisions he's making of who he's pursuing. He's lost against Ripple. The Bitcoin ETF is the pilot of
pressure. I thought he'd lose against Ripple.
The approvals. You would think with the ammunition you'd have for what Ripple is and XRP, you'd think it would be a no-brain win for the SEC.
Clean sweep.
Just a lot of costs out the door.
It clearly wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Has it been the right approach?
Mm.
Yeah. Questions everything, doesn't it?
Mm.
Anyway, poor old Gary.
Were you going to play that video as well, Mikey? Or is it not playing?
You best get your notepad out for the timestamp.
I'm silent with the subtitles, but I can...
Oh, okay, it's muted, isn't it?
In this story, yeah. Something that was raised at this...
Probably not going to hear the same.
What, we're going to play this?
So this was a bad move.
We're going to play the whole set while we sit here in silence. A reaction video to an old video?
No, there's like a 12 seconds long.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but where in the 7 minutes is it?
Well, this is a 7 minute video. Yeah, man.
Oh.
This is not great for an audio.
We'll come
audio
back.
Podcast, guys.
Mikey can play that. And
Mikey's got a lot of that to do.
Yeah. This is not going to be out by the end of the day. Is it Mikey?
We're saying about.
I think we're not putting it out there anyway.
Put it on Monday. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All cool.
SBF. to be honest, I tagged this just as an SBF update rather than the stuff.
We've all been following the court case and the court draw.
I've been following the draw. Yeah, that drawing is a terrible.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know.
Why have they not got someone that can draw in to do that?
I mean, art's abstract, isn't it? You know, it's a. Doesn't necessarily.
I mean, some art is abstract, but when you're trying to do accurate court drawings of what's going on, then maybe that's not the place for abstract.
Maybe not.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want impressionism
in
there. I just want to see what they're doing.
One of our teams that said that they think that it was they're doing the drawings on purpose to distract from what's actually happening. Which could genuinely be a thing.
What do they mean, distract from what's happening?
Yeah, like distract from the case.
Really, yeah. Oh, well, just the drawings are so bad.
The first thing we talked about there was the drawings, not the case.
Yeah.
So maybe that.
Some of the audio that's been released is very interesting. Mm. I don't know if you've managed, guys have managed to listen of their internal like meetings and stuff.
I've got audios of them.
Yeah. That's just casually talking about it all.
Why were they recording?
From inside the courtroom or?
No, from the boardroom meetings they used to have and stuff.
They were recording them.
Yeah. Or someone was.
Wow.
I know. I mean, the whole thing is it's just a massive fraud. It looks like it was never ran as a business from there. It's crazy.
What guys did you, were you talking about the code where they had that insurance number?
Bit of code that got leaked of how they were representing their insurance number.
So they had it on the
website.
They had a number of insured assets.
Yeah, and then they were like times in it by a random number between a range every time the page load or whatever it was.
So you think it moved? But like that was it. That was the code. Just a random number.
It was one line of code. Was it two lines of code? It was literally a random calculation they did that they just pretended was just like an insurance fund. They were just completely made up. It's just everything about the whole thing.
These guys were audits.
But who buy a company that they've probably bought and we still don't know the full detail, do we?
Mm-hmm.
That company shut down the audit.
I'm not surprised.
But yeah, the whole thing is just an absolute from day one. It looks like it's just been complete fraud.
What's her name? Allison. Is it Allison?
Caroline. Allison.
Caroline. Yeah. Was it Caroline?
Allison.
Allison. Yeah, she got dragged through it. I mean, they all deserve to be dragged through it.
It's
her getting out of the car and she's like this. It's like a.
She got
a real old lady.
Wait, did she? I'm pretty sure. She. There's like a sort of thing where like the trial got delayed 10 minutes because Caroline got into the wrong car. She just got in the wrong car.
They've all gone full on, he did it. He told me to do it.
Because they've all had plea bargains.
Yeah.
So they've all agreed they're after Sam.
Yes.
It doesn't look good for him.
No. The whole thing is just.
You have to just look at them all, though, and think, how
does anyone trust them with that money?
No, but how could they pull it off?
Like, she's a maths whiz.
Have you listened to any of her interviews?
Honestly,
I have.
Not a single one of them, I don't believe, have got
really
much sense about them.
That's what I mean, like, not to, like, judge the wonderful how they look, Vince. But...
He's an idiot, isn't he?
How?
I don't know.
How what? How do they manage to do it?
How did they pull off all the girls' frauds and
127 company structure with 127 companies in it? It's very hard to wade through.
Heavy.
Yeah, No transparency whatsoever.
How did they get the investment initially to even get to that stage?
How have they managed to pull the wool over so many people's eyes?
His family network's probably brilliant.
Yeah.
In terms of who they know. They were working for the current government, both his parents.
It's just mad. Just mad.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
I did see quite a funny tweet recently. I can't remember who did it, but it was like a diary, like a imitation diary of SBF Day. And it was like 10:02, play a bit of DOD, Dungeons and Dragons. And then, there was loads of different things. It was funny though. But you could imagine it being quite accurate of like.
But also it was in that era when it happened, like it was a really bullish time, wasn't it? Everyone's getting behind all this stuff.
And I think that's the big thing, the fear of the FOMO style thing for people of what that was.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as he gets credibility of association with one person, then that snowballs.
So he had that credibility. He looked like a genius. No one really understood the market and knew the market was going parabolic. So everyone jumped in.
Did I see a thing recently that every time the price got over 30K, they sold Bitcoin?
20K.
Was it? Oh, 20K.
Yeah. That was when they were in like spiral mode on the way down.
Anyway, let's be done with them.
I know, when's it going to end?
The amount of damage they've done to this bloody industry.
I know.
Yep. Big damage for lots of people, lots of individuals. What will probably be the biggest fraud of all time, I think, won't it? Because it surpasses Bernie Madoff.
Does it?
Yeah, because as far as my understanding, this is from my own calculation.
Have you watched that Netflix documentary?
Recently? Yeah, it's quite a good documentary. But the Bernie Madoff was like, say, 40 something billion, but most of that has been clawed back. So they've only lost like, are they down to single digit billions, I think, losses. Okay. So this being at what it could be, which we're thinking was like 10 to 15 billion, but I think it's a lot more than that. It'll be a bigger loss because there's nothing there to
I've not heard anyone call it the biggest fraud in history yet.
No.
Probably.
So you're saying it might be?
I think it is now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think because of when you actually look at this, at the big top end level of, like you're saying, the big number, which is like the 40 odd billion for Bernie Madoff, is it?
Mm. And what did he? What did he get? Like loads of life sentences in prison, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a lot. But I think a lot of that has been, I don't know how they clawed a lot of that back, but they've clawed a lot back over time, and I'm sure it's in single digits left.
Well, watching
20 billion in cash and 65 billion in paper.
150 years he got.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I think now that has come down to single digit billions.
Well, they're not
over time.
Yeah. There were Bernie made of LPs that actually did quite well out of his Ponzi. You know, those early ones. Yeah, on that documentary, though, they intimated some people that they did all right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
People in there.
And that they should have been really distributing the funds. Anyway, interesting.
So what is the time for SBF, and has it come out?
Or is sentence come out?
Yeah.
Payback?
Don't know, probably similar to Bernie's.
So recovered 14.6, which means there's still about 35 billion left in the hole.
Because I think the actual cash lost was like the 20 billion, was it?
Oh, right. So
actually, down to like 4 or 5 billion.
Are you just verifying your calculation?
Yeah.
Right. Live on pod.
Verifying. You know, need to make sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Verify.
Yeah. It's nice to say it and then make sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. You should just
verify.
Don't reportedly. Or don't verify and say reportedly.
There's an additional 4 billion as well, so they've recovered 18.6 billion out of 19.5.
Right, let's get the spread out and see how much they owe still.
So a lot of people sold this mad off fund help. So there's only just over a billion that's actually been lost by people, which, so actually...
Really? What? Bernie Madoff's the case?
Yeah.
That's all that's outstanding, 1 billion.
Well, I think it's because they look at the paper loss thing of the 60, but that was paper loss, was just him making numbers up. Okay. So there was no actual money going.
Oh, so they didn't actually make the gain.
Yeah.
Right.
But they got the original investment back.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, anyway. So it might be the biggest.
So this would be the biggest by a long shot, which is crazy.
It's not the association you want to happen in the industry, is it?
No, very negative for us, unfortunately.
Right, classic.
And for people, which is a shame. BitVM?
I've missed all this. Can you explain it to me?
Why is everyone looking at me?
We
want
to the guy.
Detail explanation.
The BitVM guy.
Yeah. Brain fog. Yeah, BitVM, who was it? Super Testnet and what was the other guy called? Let me pull him up.
I forgot his name.
Sorry. Ronin? Not Ronin.
Super Testnet. Okay.
We can move on without the name.
Super Testnet. No, it's important. It's important to give credit.
Even credit.
Yeah.
It does begin with R.
Yeah. Super Testnet is someone begin with R. It's kind of a...
We'll drop the name in the
technical paper of a proposal called BitVM, which is basically... Keep it high level, a Robin line of things. Keep it high level, kind of utilizes now Taproot's kind of in Bitcoin. You can utilize that a lot more in terms of like the signature aggregation stuff and the contract side of stuff. So it's making use of Taproot using what you call tap leaves to basically allow to kind of stack logic gates within the Bitcoin blockchain. And then there's this theory, I think it's De Morgan's theory, that if you have a NAND logic gate, so not AND logic gate, you can recreate all the other logic gates, so therefore you can recreate a computer just with NAND gates.
Mm.
So the ability of being able to do NAND gates within Bitcoin means you can essentially build anything on Bitcoin without a need to change Bitcoin.
Should be Turing complete.
So it'll be Turing complete, yeah, that's what I was looking for. So it can be Turing complete. Yeah, De Morgan's theory is like...
Define Turing complete for me.
Yeah, this is way over my head.
Exactly what Zach just said there. You can effectively do anything, build anything you want on it.
And
there'd be no limitations in theory.
Oh, right.
In some ways. The limitation would be the block size, which
obviously,
is a conversation, but in terms of the actual logic.
And that's what's defined as Turing complete, because you can build anything on it.
That's what Ethereum was trying to be sold as, but the people argue with the definition of what that is, forwards of whether it... things are or not, but
like the Bitcoin script at the moment is considered not Turing complete,
right?
So it has limitations of what you can do in the smart contract side of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's kind of very limited to just these like kind of multi-sigs that Lightning uses and that kind of thing. But adding the ability to have a NAND logic gate basically means you can do anything at that point.
Okay.
All that, it might not be the most efficient way of doing it, which I'm sure, you know, as the the technical side progresses, they'll find efficiencies. But if you have a NAND logic gate, you can stack them and build anything.
There are some really good videos out there about what logic gates are. Yeah, because that is basically the fundamental principle of how a computer works, right?
Yeah, if you did computer science at a degree level or anything, you'll get taught gates.
Or if you're like me, you get use Paul McCourty's YouTube channel and try and build logic gates on...
Is it Paul who?
Paul McCourty.
I think it's Paul McCartney. Or something.
No. But you can, you could circuit board logic gates with different lights and stuff, and it's just how I build them. So that's how I got my head into it.
Yeah, the cool proof of concept they're working on is chess. So they've just, Supertest, they've just...
That's funny. Yeah.
Supertest has just released like the first kind of stack of logic gates needed to check a knight's move. And it's fascinating looking at that kind of low level of what is needed, what stack of logic gates is needed to check a knight's move.
There's quite a lot. Also.
There's a lot. A knight's the first move.
Like to check it's moved legitimately.
Oh, okay.
So then the other person can then verify that using the on-chain transaction, essentially.
Right.
So you know everyone's abiding by the rules.
Okay.
So they're working on piece by piece to kind of build chess out. And it's just fascinating to see, like,
which is probably, it's one of the things where it's probably overkill and nobody's ever probably going to really play chess on.
No, but it's the principle, isn't it?
But it's the concept of how it works, which is a really good example to do.
Like you play on chess.com or whatever.
Well,
you're essentially trusting...
Grandmaster on chess.com.
You're trusting chess.com to implement the rules properly for both parties.
Yeah.
Whereas this would allow you and the other party... You would just, the rules are set by the in the blockchain, essentially.
So
no one can make an illegal move.
But
that's where, like, when you used to play, like, online games and things like that, and people would get patches and, like, what do you call them? It's been an old name for it, but it was like a, like a patch. So basically, if I was playing against you, like, Call of Duty style, and I would be able to do something that actually gives me access to your location at all times, but nobody knows because it's like a cheat within the game, basically.
Yeah.
Right. So if somebody was doing that in chess.com and they could actually be having something there in the background allowing them to do moves that were potentially illegal, but if you didn't spot it, you'd never know, and they can just do it.
Okay.
So this would then
trust chess
is what I'm hearing.
Right.
So you are trusting chess.com, as I'm saying there, to do that. And trusting that nobody else has found a backdoor into chess.com to be able to do illegal moves.
Chess.com is probably a bad example. Considering it's all completely transparent, and you know,
but it's not,
the moves are rigid, and you know what they can move. You'd identify.
Yeah, well,
it's a poor place to identify an illegal move.
You can't do anything about it.
I couldn't do that.
What if somebody did an illegal move? You didn't notice it. You just carry on.
You don't get to grandmaster level without noticing illegal.
Even if you noticed it, he still has a book next to him. Watching him trying to do this on the plane, and he was like, still trying to read on the rules, check the move was legitimate. No, it wasn't. He was just getting beat by what was it called? That you couldn't beat
Christian Pulisic.
The American football.
On chess.com, you can play influencers, you can play sports stars. Christian Pulisic turns out to be an exceptional chess player.
He's not even that exceptional at football.
No, because he concentrated too much on chess. Because he's brilliant at it.
I mean,
he's my guy. If everyone knows chess.com, that's where I'm at. I cannot beat him.
And is he real?
He's real, but I think they've just recorded. They have levels in chess.com in terms of...
You weren't playing him live?
No.
All right.
I think he's probably got better things to do.
Probably not.
Playing this guy called David Boyle. Keep being
What kind of master?
Well, yeah, essentially it opens up endless possibilities without having to without the need to change Bitcoin as it is. You can build anything on it. Granted, the kind of cons of it is like the block space required to build stuff is probably quite significant. And if you even want to build stuff on Bitcoin, that's a whole different.
Right.
That's the limitation. The block size becomes the questionable.
Like, you might be able to build chess on it, but it might take half a block's worth
of
Bitcoin transactions, essentially. Mm.
So, yeah, I think it's really good progress. I think this, theoretically, it kind of can do everything in some respects, but I think there's an upgrade needed for additional. Opcode, isn't
it? To make it more efficient.
Make it efficient and be able to do
so. Right now, I can't do like arithmetic. So I can't do like times to multiplication. You just have to add.
Oh, okay. The amount.
There's inefficiencies there.
Okay.
But what is cool is
this is a first baby step.
Yeah, it's the vibe of like early internet.
Yeah.
Like kind of, he's literally dealing with binary into logic gates to build a chess's move.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's interesting.
It kind of makes, like, you look at all the other altcoins and things out there that I've tried to, like, blockchain concepts, platforms and things. it kind of starts to make them redundant.
It could, I suppose.
Well, it makes them
sounds like you're a long way off.
No, this is probably ahead of a lot of them out there, because their promise is, they promise a million things, don't they, and they never actually come to fruition, because they say they're going to build it and they don't build it, or they build it and it doesn't really work and they have to turn it off. So this is ahead of, in some respects, of a lot of stuff in terms of what it can do on a foundation of what is Bitcoin. So I think it's, in some ways, the killer for a lot of these other chains out there.
Okay.
Alongside a couple of other things, but yeah, I think there's it starts to make them redundant.
Sound pretty cool.
Very cool.
I like when things like that just drop randomly midweek. Someone tweets out.
No announcements about announcements.
Yeah. Well, we have that and the other one as well, didn't we? The Lightning Labs.
Yeah,
sits in similar capacity, being able to do taproot assets.
Finally on mainnet.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this has been in the works for 2 years now.
At least 2 years, because
we were on the plane when we
Miami, weren't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was 18 months ago they announced it. So it'll be
longer. Ability to mint and send Taproot assets on chain on mainnet. Not on Lightning yet, that's coming soon, but this is the first step kind of onto mainnet.
Yeah, it's just brought me back a memory. We were trying to panic read it, weren't we, before the Miami conference on the flight over.
Can you give me a good use case for something that could be minted on there?
Stablecoins.
Yeah. On Bitcoin.
So obviously we know there's no hiding the fact that stablecoin volume is massive. And it's all built on these chains which are not, you know, they don't have solid foundations. They're a nightmare to deal with. It's just kind of opening up that ability to do it on Bitcoin much easier.
How would you deal with the pegging? What was it pegged? Is it be pegged to like a stable coin on Bitcoin?
The same way as it does on Ethereum.
Yeah, this allows you to just mint your asset on the...
Yeah, so you'd still need a pegging capabilities off like...
Who has a centralized company still doing the...
That's my point.
Tether will put themselves on Bitcoin, for example.
Right.
So it would just be the same as like Tether on Ethereum or on Tron or whatever.
So you just got to
be on Bitcoin instead.
Right, so it's better trusting that blockchain rather than...
You don't have to turn it off every 10 minutes like Solana and stuff. It's like... trusted,
but you still are relying on a third party to peg, like have the underlying asset of that what they've minted onto blockchain.
If you want a stable coin, Tether.
That's what I think. So you'll get rid of that because you do have to. There's a trust element there that they are doing it.
Yeah, there's synthetic stable coins and stuff that people are trying to do and have been doing, and there is a couple live now, doing it, which are meant to be more to remove the trust angle of having like Tether behind it or something.
Right.
But that's nothing really to do with this Taproot asset side.
So would this work a little bit similar to like the ordinals where a sat has to be assigned to the stablecoin asset?
I don't think it's sat based. I think it's just like transaction based. You minting a asset on there is like an on-chain transaction, I believe.
We can probably pull up the ones.
I did actually mint one on Testnet, remember, about 6 months ago.
My own.
Did you?
On Testnet. What was it called?
I think I did a GBP coin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can you know what the URL is for the universe?
The URL for the universe.
So wait for this.
A new term for you within the Taproot assets.
It's kind of annoying one, isn't it?
Universe. Yeah. So universe is kind of in control of keeping track of what assets are on the Bitcoin blockchain and like what they are and how many of them are there.
Who controls that universe?
Well, anyone can run a universe. There can be several universes.
It sounds like I want to be running my own universe.
So Lightning Labs have a default universe. So like when you run it all, it connects to the default universe. So there's actually a URL you can go to and see all the assets minted in this universe.
Yeah. Have you got your own universe yet?
No.
You're going to create one?
Well, we can do.
Well,
do you want to go in?
Annoyingly, you look at what's been minted on the universe when you see it.
Yeah.
It's like there's some Pepe's on there.
Well, last night there was about... 200 assets. There's now 12,000 assets minted.
That's a little bit
this morning.
Yeah.
And it's full of these people.
Pepe's getting early, aren't they?
Because it's assets early adopters. There's people building out like NFTs already on it. So get ready for that very soon.
Which we knew was going to happen. Right. It's going to come. Yeah. But that only comes with, as long as there's a price speculation element to some of these, that's where the demand will be. But as we saw with like ordinals, the demand died very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Did not last long, did it?
No.
So yeah, what I've seen so far is a bunch of NFT kind of stuff, and then just people like making their own coins in their own name, just playing around with it by the looks of it.
It's just like universe.lightningandvibes.
Yeah, it took me a while to find it. So it's, I was in their like documentation when I found it.
Oh, I know, it's ordinal.
Yeah.
Scroll down a little bit more. What's the block explorer? Is that just still into that?
Not that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can find the drop the domain of the show.
Yeah, I might check that out. So this is the first kind of release on Mainnet, and the first one that it's like it'll always be backwards compatible now. So everything that's minted on chain is basically support.
Is there any easy UX to actually do that minting? Is anyone? Is that getting
not cool? Yet? No, people are building that out, but it's all command line at the moment. Right. Well, it was when I did it.
That's all comes and that's when you see like with the NFT things and people throwing all sorts of stuff in.
But,
once it becomes easy, that's when it becomes spammed.
And then you might see the whole what we saw with ordinals, obviously the mempool kind of backlog.
Yeah, I was about to say, would that have the same effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can probably expect that in the
future. Maybe we need bigger blocks.
Controversial, Dave.
But it's very cool. It's been in the pipeline for a while. Even more exciting when they launched the Lightning side of it. So you're not just on-chain.
Right.
Yeah.
Check that out.
It's one of them annoying things where it's like there's a need and there's a demand in some ways, but then you don't want it. It shouldn't be one of them things where just because you can build it and put things on it, you should.
Yeah.
It's kind of like because people will put the NFTs on and Pepes and things, and you really probably shouldn't. But people will do it because you can.
It's that same question even for BitVM we talked about. It's like, just because you can do this and it's cool, should you do it?
Yeah.
Or should we focus on Bitcoin being the best payments mechanism?
Yeah.
And, you know.
And that's where I think it is that once the real world use case, if it doesn't have a real world use case, it will slowly die over time. It'll just take some time to do. So we will just short to midterm might have to deal with the fallout of people trying to find a real world use case for their NFT for whatever that may be.
Yeah.
All right. Pretty cool.
Cool topic.
Pretty cool.
Honda and Ferrari accepting crypto payments and in the US and has eyes in Europe too. So actually this one I've only flagged up because the Honda one was like 2 weeks ago, is it? They announced that they were accepting, or they didn't, their partner announced, and I actually got pulled.
Oh, really?
So Honda have clicked onto this and said, no, we're not. And they actually pulled it very quietly.
Really?
Which has never happened. So
FCF Pay, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is there account's been suspended
reporting
now
about its partnership?
So it's another one of them where it's fake news. So this is my sweeping.
Oh yeah.
Sweeper's back.
Let's bring that back. I think everyone's missed that.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. So Honda news, was, I don't want to say fake in some ways, but it was a partnership from a company that Honda didn't know anything about and have pulled it. And the Ferrari one, I don't know on that one either. I've not verified myself of whether how true that is and who is the partner they're dealing with.
Why would they just not let it ride, Honda? Why would you pull it? If it's like it's a third party agreement with that company.
Because you have people going and trying to pay, wouldn't you? And then
also they're a global business in several, you know.
Yeah, but is it Bitcoin ESG's problems?
That's what I'm saying, the reputation one.
No, if you look at the FCF Pay, whatever it's called, they're not like they're a weird, I don't know what you call it, not kind of like Bit Refill style where you can kind of buy things through it. And I think they just had through some part of the partner, I think they had access to Honda and I think that's why it came from. But it was probably like three Honda dealerships in a random country or something.
And Honda didn't want people turning up. Creating that problem.
That's reputation.
We had this exact issue, didn't we, with the cashback thing at the time.
Wow, that
And they got pulled, didn't they?
So apparently Ferrari's chief marketing and commercial officer confirmed the intentions to accept crypto payments, but nothing locked in, really. It says it's not looking good until 2025.
So this is Ferrari?
Yeah.
So they're not actually going live with it until 2025.
What?
Put this at the comment. Strong Portfolio is fully booked until 2025, So I guess so.
The strong order book.
Does that mean that's they've got the new cars coming out already sold? They've already sold, took payments.
So if you, do they actually, are they using BitPay? Okay.
Plans to introduce cryptocurrency payments in Europe by the first quarter of 2024.
So it's only in the US at the minute by BitPay.
Ferrari aren't bothered with any recessions, are they? They're good.
Cars sold till next 2 years.
That's all right.
But I suppose that's always been the case for a lot of these car manufacturers.
Yeah, the actual number of cars they don't make many.
There's not many.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, it does make sense.
So they need to be selling them now, though, for like 2.5 years, 3 years' time to keep the process going. Otherwise, it starts to fall and it's on the decline. So, yeah, okay, so that's a bit payable.
The Honda Jazz don't have that.
It doesn't give any actual dates for US, though, either, or if it's live now.
If it's live or not.
Cool. That's a very non-story that you've swept up there.
Off we go.
Yep.
Here's one for you, Dave. Cointelegraph.
Oh, I thought this would be part of your sweeping.
Well,
it's definitely a sweep, isn't it?
They swept their own self up, didn't they?
They did a poor job of sweeping it.
Oh, they tried to hide the sweep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Reportedly.
Yeah, reportedly.
Yeah, still. Has anyone heard if they're going to get into trouble with that?
I don't know.
So what did they do? Brief outline, they said that an ETF, which did they say BlackRock's ETFs is definitely has been
approved.
That was the initial tweet, and it came with like in full cap, red lights
with
on
the sirens.
It. Whole of the Twitterverse got on board, price pumped, and then they realized they didn't have a source for it, and then they didn't. Instead of deleting the tweet, they edited the tweet to reportedly as a coverall, which is brilliant.
And then deleted it.
Yeah. And then said they'd have a 3-hour investigation.
And then took longer than 3 hours.
And then, that is crazy. Giving themselves a timeline.
And then published all the transcript.
I think that's to try and avoid them getting into trouble, sure.
Yeah, the transcript is it. And they just realized no one had a source for it.
Yeah. Well, no, the source was Bloomberg.
Oh, a Bloomberg terminal that might have been
an edit. Picture it in Telegram.
Yeah. So it was a fake screenshot from a random Telegram group, which was a pump and dump Telegram chat. Yeah. And it was just like, what?
That was it.
It's not a great look.
Well, and all of that happened within a good hour, wasn't it? So it's just an entertaining afternoon for us. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
Price went from, was it 27? It just got over 26, 26, 9, 27-ish, I think.
The candles were amazing.
It just went crazy and went to past 30, jaded it. And then back down.
7%, I think, in 10 minutes.
And then back down, not quite as quick, but
been there, will it?
Yeah, just all those memories of glorious volatility days.
Low 27 straight up to 28, and then it peaked up at like 28.5.
I think, didn't it? Yeah, it's just probably on this site. It's not to the minute. Like
it literally happened in 10 minutes. The main price movement, I think.
Yeah, mega.
But it was interesting to see that reaction based off people's true thought of her approval.
And then everyone thought there was an intern with some sort of trade going on.
It got memed like crazy.
The memes are funny.
Yeah, it's millions wiped out, didn't they?
Oh, 100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Human.
Yeah. But it's that impact of what an ETF means, I think, to people. It's interesting to see. It's almost like a trial run.
By the way, it's the impact of one tweet.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it also shows like all the other so-called legitimate places reporting on it based on the back of that tree. Like Reuters reported on it.
What's going on? If you were in the Cointelegraph office, you'd be like, no. Oh, no. Just realise what they've done.
Yeah. But there was still some people, because a lot of people tweeted it themselves and pretending, and they're not putting a source as well. And it was almost like they were then the break, and they didn't delete theirs till way after Cointelegraph had.
But I was just looking at it thinking, this is absolute fodder for regulators. They'll eat this up. Reporting on PLCs, it's stringent, structured.
Yeah.
You have the RNS reports, it's at certain times so the market isn't affected.
Yeah, but
and all this.
No, but tweets in the past have impacted share prices and stock market.
Oh, they have, but
insider knowledge what's been then leaked.
Elon's been in trouble for that before.
Because it's him doing it, but if somebody else leaks something that nobody knows who it is and it just goes into the news like this one did, then it's a fake leak of what it was. But that happens in the real world and the stock exchange side already. That is already a thing. What was it with the...
we talked about one on here recently.
Established news outlet. They're tweeting something about a share price.
Well, Reuters
got it wrong.
Reuters tweeted that. Well, how many others do we not pay attention to that this would happen to?
Mm.
it around the world, and without doubt that happens.
With share stuff, though, it's a lot more verifiable, especially if it's a PLC. The information should be public. You shouldn't be.
No, not if it's like these guys are about to get acquired by somebody else and the price spikes.
Well, they shouldn't. Certainly shouldn't be releasing data like that.
Well, no, they shouldn't. But somebody that's in the know and then leaks it to the media is going to print it. They want to be first to break in news and make the point of it.
Did you see the editor of Cointelegraph? Was she in Dubai or something? And then she'd been questioned about it, and she blamed their need to have to report stuff so quickly.
Yeah.
So that's they have to break news. Well, just do what you want then.
Well, news does that.
I mean, you can have no standards because she's like blaming like
the current state of like journalism and
the pressure is just to release stuff so quickly. So
they can hold themselves to a higher standard and not have to.
Yeah, it's like that's why I'm a Bloomberg subscriber.
But they do the same.
No, they don't.
They verify all their sources.
That's why I subscribe to Bloomberg.
Okay.
But that's what they all do because they all want to be first because it's clickbait, get traffic. So that is every news outlet.
What do you think? Like
slightly more in depth.
You think that with Reuters, though, surely as well?
It came from a Bloomberg terminal. I know it was a fake screenshot.
Yeah. Definitely.
Or was it a fake screenshot? We don't know. They could have put it on Bloomberg first. But yeah, Reuters posted it, and you'd expect them to be
a bit more
and we don't know how many others posted it and quickly deleted it. We don't know yet.
Anyway, bit of drama.
It was an hour's worth of drama.
My favorite part was their internal messages about adding reportedly to the end of it.
Bad move.
What were the time, Bill?
45.
Ooh.
More like 40, actually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Timeout trees, coming back to a techie conversation.
So tech heavy today.
Mm-hmm. This is all over my head. Timeout trees are.
A proposal. We can probably bring it up on there. Mikey, make sure I get the name right again.
Who comes up with these names, by the way, like timeout trees? Who?
The person who's proposing it. Yeah. We'll tell you who that is in a minute once Mikey pulls this up.
I want to know
you can get very far with a good name, though, can't you? If you drop, like, you
get John Law. So John Law came up with some
alliteration there.
I do love a bit of alliteration, it's good.
But the idea of this is, we won't obviously get into too much on the tech side, but with the channel factories, they had a couple of issues, which is one of the things to help try and scale Lightning even further than it could in terms of us five in the room, put an on-chain transaction all together into a factory and create a channel off the back of it. But that means so we've got like five of us having access to Lightning Network with one Bitcoin transaction, should we say. But that comes with problems, and timeout trees is the proposal to try and solve some of them problems so it can become a real commercial thing.
Was it you that came up with that? We've definitely had it in a conversation with some quite big businesses about Lightning scalability and how long it would take for everyone to open a Lightning channel without any of the scalability. And that was one of them. I cannot remember who it was.
John Cantrell
put the tweet threads calculating how long it would take to open it to the world. But when you bring, so he talks about like channel factories and things like that. So once you start bringing all these things in that we're aware of right now that will be improved and scaled on, you can see where that comes to. And then there'll be additional things built on top of all these that will help scale. And that's like any technology. Every iteration of things brings new concepts and theories of how to scale.
We definitely spoke to some proposed partner, and it was like that was their book better. It was just like, it would take too long to give a Lightning channel to everyone in the world because you're relying on on-chain transactions.
So they don't understand why.
Do you remember that? I was just like, and you just arguing about scalability for ages,
but they don't understand.
That's another step in that.
That was a big player. I can't say who that was because that was big.
Maybe we should just go back to that big player.
I've already sent a whole description, and I actually gave him John Cantrell's tweet thread explaining it all and even doing all that.
That's quite interesting. We've hit these blockers with people before about Lightning scalability, and this just smashes it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's another piece added to line, and it does need, however,
CTV,
yeah,
which is the controversial soft fork for covenants on Bitcoin. So stuff like this always raises the question of whether you should change on chain to benefit Lightning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is always a debate to have, I suppose.
That's where then you see the likes of like Arc that crept up as an alternative to Lightning, and actually it doesn't need
Arc doesn't need CTV. Like, no, but it would also help Arc as well. I think.
So there's, why would you change something like Zach says on chain to benefit Lightning when you could actually just theoretically make a different version of Lightning in a slightly different way that doesn't need these on chain upgrades, base layer upgrades?
Yeah, we're getting to that point now where most of the arguments within the community are more about how whether the base chain should be ossified by now, or how we should bring stuff onto the base chain, when we should bring it on, what for, which is quite interesting kind of arguments to be having.
It's like you kind of internet, I was trying think or explain to people with that, like with your internet, and that's effectively the same underlying technology that's been there for decades, but you have faster internet speeds through broadband and through all sorts now, 4, 5G or even 6, I don't know where we're up to these days, but that's like improvements with technology along the way, but the base has effectively stayed the same technology underneath.
It's like, at what point do we draw the line in the sand and go, Bitcoin's kind of ossified?
Yeah.
Are you ready to draw that line in the sand?
I don't know where, which side of the sand I lie.
I think the one thing Adam Back's always said about, he would be happy, I think, with the ossification on the point of, what's it called? Begins with S. One other upgrade, effectively.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember the name of it. And he was sort of said he would see it then as more comfortable to be able to then ossify after that point, because you could theoretically kind of do everything. But now BitVM that we talked about earlier, you can then start to, can you do everything with that, plus these other things that are coming? So maybe one more soft fork upgrade would theoretically be enough to ossify it for the future.
But even just organizing that soft fork is almost impossible, I think, which it might mean we've already ossified at this point.
Does it get hard? Does the time to get soft forks and get longer and longer?
It's much, much harder now,
I think it's almost impossible to actually get one through.
So, like, how long was Taproot?
Years. I mean, the SegWit one was the bigger blocks one, but that was the battle between SegWit was, what, four years, was it, I think, from 3 or 4 years? And then Taproot, obviously, was then the additional kind of on top of that, which was always planned at the same time. But
so does ossification happen naturally with complexity? And then the length of time that these things take to get through, that it just exponentially gets too long.
It just gets difficult. It's just difficult to get the whole community and the whole industry.
It's agreement, isn't it? Yeah, the hardest thing.
Yeah.
When you're a small community, small industry, and it's new, you can.
But that's such a good thing. It should be hard to make changes.
Yeah.
This is exactly
such a strength.
You need to be ossified, in my head, before nation states really get involved, because that's the part where it becomes difficult. Because if a nation state can have power and sway in things, they will, and they'll try.
What was that thing that someone shared it yesterday about someone going into the Pentagon and hasn't been seen since?
That was what I said.
Did you share it?
It's John. Was the thing he
Jason Lowry.
Lowry.
I think he just deleted his Twitter account.
Oh, yeah. He's active on LinkedIn.
So. He got shouted at, didn't he? But so he got invited to the Pentagon.
And then was taking photos.
Went in there. He got then shouted at and told that he had to take his book down from his took his book off being sold by the government.
Oh, is it
He did say that.
He works for the Space Cadet.
Is that a really expensive book? So we talked about it before.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think he just stopped.
Yeah, that's his last tweet.
So that was a year ago now.
But he posted on LinkedIn. Really? It's suspicious that his last tweet is about being invited to a White House. No.
And then he had to take his book down. And a year later,
he's never been heard of.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see him.
So everyone's kind of like, where's he gone? Why?
Yeah. So it's just because you said nation state adoption. I was like, the last guy that tried is never seen.
We'll see you another time, guys. We're going to join Jason.
Right, quality.
So yeah, I would be intrigued genuinely where he is and what he's up to.
He does post on LinkedIn daily. But oh, he's Space Force. Yeah, I think he just doesn't tweet anymore. People in the community don't go outside of Twitter.
No.
Okay.
The first thing I did was check him on LinkedIn. He's posted on daily. Yeah.
Right, okay. But just Space Force, he's not Bitcoin. So he won't talk about Bitcoin. No. See, that's interesting.
Been silenced.
Yeah, by government. I assume you kind of understand because he has a government position and he does, and he's fairly public now. You can understand maybe the government's come down on that a little bit. I wonder if he left the Space Force role, would he then come back to talking about Bitcoin?
Yeah, funny though. Right.
It is interesting. What else we got? I think last, oh no, two more. Tesla revealing they didn't sell any of the Bitcoin in Q3, which is just public company, so obviously it comes just out of the water.
Didn't buy any either, did they? Just
did nothing.
Did nothing.
There's not really much to say on that, to be honest. It was more just a flag in that one.
Point.
And the last one, Spiral. This is Dave wanted this one, so take it away. Spiral making the Bitcoin 101.
Ron, what did we all think of the educational video?
I haven't watched it. I flicked through it.
And what did you think of it when you flicked through it? Molly, have you seen it?
Part of it.
And what did you think of it?
I mean, there's a reason why I didn't watch all of it.
Okay. Did you watch it?
I told you, I'm not commenting on this one.
Okay. Did you watch it?
I've seen bits of it.
I watched
the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's really hard to get through, Mikey.
Yeah, I watched 20 seconds and like, I've not got time for this at the minute.
And what were you feeling like? Kind of cringy?
Very cringy. I wasn't playing it with audio as well, so I was just seeing it. Okay. Like, yeah, this is...
I'm really not the audience.
For me to watch at the minute.
Yeah, so they just released it on Twitter.
I'm not sure the actual audience intention.
What is the purpose of it? Just try and get more people involved? Because they've gone for a Sesame Street vibe? I mean, what's the audience? But... I mean, if you've got a ton of money, this is one way to spend it.
I like the description as well. It's like, we aim to make the greatest Bitcoin 101 video ever. Right, instead, we made this.
Just to be fair,
acknowledging that.
Is it purely irony then? Am I missing the joke?
If it's satire.
It's a huge satire then.
But it's not.
Because that's why they're posting.
I think the way I read this is that they actually do think it's quite good. And they're just like, we didn't make the best video ever, but we did make a really good video. Look at this.
I mean, it's a great costume. Look, that's
cool. It kind of looks like you if you were a Bitcoin.
Grumpy.
Yeah.
If I was a Bitcoin, I would look like that. All right, so maybe we post a link and people can ask their
own. Weird, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well. I would love to hear people's thoughts and feelings on it.
What is the greatest Bitcoin one-on-one video ever made? Is this up there?
There used to be...
I don't know if there is one.
I don't think this is a...
This might be an opinion.
Got him.
Oh, right.
Got him. Reeled him in.
No, you don't think this is the greatest, Danny? No?
I think historically the...
what's going on here?
The What is Bitcoin YouTube videos. That was up there, which is just the... what is it? The sort of not cartoon one, but it's like diagram drawn sort of one. That used to be the historical one.
Bob and Alice.
It might have Bob and Alice in it, I think, but it's just the main kind of what... It used to be the one like on Bitcoin.org, whatever, and it used to just have it. Which was one of the main ones back in the day.
Oh, God, I've just seen the subtitle of Bitcoin brand has a problem. Right, no, this is not...
Bitcoin brand.
Yeah. I don't know if this helps the Bitcoin.
It's not irony.
Okay.
Okay, right.
We can...
Put that link in there. I don't know what it's for. It's 9 minutes long, so it's a, you know, invested kind of watch for anyone not in the industry. So it can't be like it's not like TV advert or anything. It's... Yeah. Or just for our own community.
It's just an accessible video for people.
I think it was I agree with what Zach said, that for people outside the industry, if you're not interested in Bitcoin, you wouldn't give 10 minutes of your life to learning about it.
A furry monster eating pigeon.
You also need to make sure it needs to be aimed sometimes at the outside industry. I think this is definitely aimed for the inside the industry.
Yeah.
It's got inside joke vibes.
It makes you feel
it takes the maturity of the industry out of it.
Do you think
which is a financial instrument, I'm not sure.
Do you think it's slightly damaging?
I don't know. I don't really get that far. I mean, it's be like $250,000, nearly 300,000 views. And what's it?
It was. Okay. So distracting.
Someone just sat. If anyone listening, we're actually just sat watching.
Well, this is the first time I've seen the rest of it.
I mean, if this isn't
not okay,
potentially satire, then it might be perfect.
It might be.
Might be clever.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give it a
bit.
Maybe it's clever that we're missing the point. Maybe
that could be it. The joke might be on us right now.
Over our heads.
Okay.
One point in laughing at us.
Yeah.
But I can't see this video being shown at like.
It's hard to show a video of something eating a pigeon in a piece of bread and like
talking. And taking it serious about money, I think.
This thing's going to change the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the
thing. Yeah.
Okay, but we respect.
I understand. Spiral guys and everything, love, like the great.
They are a bit out there, aren't they?
Yeah, they had some good fun.
They've had a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you, the question that day for me is why I would even want to talk about this is what is the best Bitcoin education, like 101 video out there?
That's a good question.
I honestly don't know which one I'd push to people.
Let's make one.
Do we need to? Yeah, does the industry? I don't think we could make the best one.
No, absolutely not.
We would never be able to.
They should. But, no. God, no.
I don't think we would. Somebody could, and I would love to somebody to do that.
You could
do it,
Dave, with his renders.
Us two and them two. In your own time, obviously, business time. But
I think it's also you've got to. I don't think there'll ever be just a one.
No, I think you're
because
right.
Every
Ray,
audience
Ray,
is
Ray different. Dalio videos I always really like, but they're not Bitcoin videos. They're macroeconomy videos.
But a lot of
you can kind of see.
A lot of other people wouldn't like that, but you like it because you're...
The audience is... Yeah, that I think a lot of people like
interest. Those. Yeah, I like them. I really like the Ray Dalio ones.
I think this is the thing with Bitcoin where you've got such a such a varied audience. Like you,
maybe.
It's got to be a different thing.
Named at that segment of
certain
different
kids.
Audience. Yeah. My kids would be terrified by that. It's eating pigeons.
Show your kids, actually. That'd be interesting.
Show my kitchens. Show my kitchens.
Funny kitchens,
show. Show my kids a monster eating a pigeon. They're not going to be ingratiated with Bitcoin. That would terrify them.
It would.
They'll be up at night going,
oh, okay.
So that'd be a nightmare material right there.
I would like to see.
Look at that. Look at that clip. Can you put that on when we say, look at that? Show my kids that.
So who's it for then?
Bitcoin, what? Bitcoin's a terrifying monster.
So who's this video for? I'm trying to find who in this video. But
look at that. It's on women as well, to be fair.
I brought it.
It's an insider joke, but it's for the audience. Why put so, and it's for Bitcoiners already. Why put so much effort and time into it?
Yeah, so it's a long video for an insider joke.
Yeah.
So for like young, we just don't get the joke, I don't.
Are we just old? Maybe it's for like the next generation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it for like the next generation like coming through education?
The Gen Z.
But that's what you're saying. They're going to scare. It's going to scare them.
No, like older.
How old?
Dave's kids.
How old?
That's why it wouldn't scare you.
I don't know.
I'm trying to find out what the audience.
It might.
19.
It might go viral. It might be popular. That's what we'll have to wait.
Pretty viral.
Sometimes the weirdest ones go viral, don't they? Because nobody gets them.
Or maybe that's what they needed. A viral video rather than a functional one.
What was that weird one we seen? Oh, it was that weird video from Gemini, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was just
that was that weird. It was a bit abstract.
I think it was about their own. Coinbase did a weird one as well.
But you can trade.
Coinbase did do it.
Yeah, but weird actually gets people
for clothes.
We're talking about this video.
Yeah,
it's our industry talking. So it's just like the contagious point of view.
That's the key point for me. It gets our industry people talking, not people outside the industry. And I think that's a big thing at the minute. We have to educate people outside the industry.
It's not really a Bitcoin.
I'm also wondering if this is American humor and not British humor. That's why
we're not that different.
I'm just thinking. Sometimes we can be.
Connor's British. Connor did this.
Oh, did he?
He's in it.
Oh.
We're probably overanalyzing.
Yeah.
Probably just a bit of fun they filmed it in that day.
Really, and we fully analyzed
more time. Very little resource for them.
Probably a tax write-off for them.
Right. Anyway, right. So,
yeah.
Right.
I think that's the end of the show.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, cool. Cheerio.
Peace.
Bye-bye.